WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST coverage and our crab cake tour brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're letting ourselves play. I do a lot of segments here, and it's very rare that I ask somebody to come on the show, and they're like, why'd you invite me on the show? And I'm like, I don't know. Why would I invite anybody on the show? But maybe it's because I'm going to be doing the crab cake tour at Nacho Mama's in Canton, where I had a delicious birria quesadilla a couple weeks ago, and I'm looking forward to getting back there and getting some of Scunny's salsa that I love so much. This guy spends a lot of his life on the square down in Canton, and I don't know when he came to me. I'm going to let him tell you the story because he doesn't even know why he's on the show. And he did what Moeller always does, which is, what are we going to be talking about? I have no idea. Have you not listened to this show long enough to know? I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Greg is here, and I'm going to let you say your last name because I don't want to butcher it. I would say Sipaniak, but is this Paniak? I mean, you give it to me the right way, so I do it. I have the same problem with Chad at Al's because I can't say his last name either. But go ahead and give me the pronunciation so I get it wrong the rest of my life.
So, hello, Baltimore and beyond. Nestor, thanks for having me on. So because we're here in the States, it's Sipaniak, but From what I'm told, if we were over in the old country, if we were in Poland, it would be Sipaniak. But we're not there, so we're here, so we're going to go with Sipaniak.
Sipaniak. All right. I'm gonna try to get it phonetically correct. My wife's Polish, but her mother's maiden name is Snarski, so it wasn't really like – I'm sure it was Snarskipaniakski or something, and they shorten it. But either way, dude, we've known each other a long time. People would say like – you're a listener of WNST, or used to be at least, and your father and you would come out the barn shows. And I guess one of the reasons I'm reaching you, first, we're Facebook friends, and you sell houses, and I like helping my friends to do whatever they do. And I just sold my condo with Jeff Moeller, Moeller and Gary. So if you're lucky one day, you'll partner and be a buyer seller with him. So introducing people to people. But you came into my life as you and your father, and this is after my father had died. My father died in 92. My father didn't live long enough to see the Ravens. That if I could have changed anything in my life, I would have been able to go to a football game with my dad one more time, you know? And you and your dad would come out to my barn shows and give me pictures, and I have pictures. You wound up at my wedding years later, you and your dad, and you're in all my wedding pictures and all sorts of Jimmy Buffett regalia. But I would say more than anything, like, you represent a sports fan that is a little bit fledgling in the modern era, which is Terps, Orioles, Ravens, live, die, breathe, eat, sleep. And ever since Trump became president, I've lost some of those people. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. 100% Baltimorean through and through, if you will. And now, and you mentioned my dad, who of course is no longer with us. Moment of respect for my dad, Val, who absolutely loved your show. I think he's probably how we got started. And I can remember.
Your dad loved Loyola, as I remember, more than anything, right?
Yes. So he worked at the then Loyola University. When I graduated from it, it was known as Loyola College back in the day. So my dad worked in athletics there, built some amazing relationships. He worked for the lacrosse team, and Charlie Toomey doesn't get any better than Coach Toomey, all of his success on the field being a national champion, but even a better guy off the field, the way he treats his players and everybody that works for him over there. So, but I can remember the first time seeing you, which was back in the early 90s, and I think the Orioles, when they'd have the off season, it was like Moonlight Madness or
Moonlight Madness. They used to sell every ticket before Christmas for the whole season.
I can remember that's the first time that I made it up into the, I guess, like the boxes or the suite area. And I saw this guy hustling down the luxury area in a blazer, like a pair of jeans, boots, a mullet and or rat tail and glasses, and handing out flyers.
Like this?
And I'm like, yes, something like that. I want to say there was a rat tail in there too. I'm not sure, but anyway, I think it's the first.
It was a mullet. All the hockey players had it. You know what I mean?
Right,
it was a mullet.
Right. Well, you could see I don't have a lot of.
Not an Eddie Vedder even had a mullet back then when they hit it. But you go back to the Alive. It is a mullet. way the Canadian guys were wearing it, you know?
My last memory with hair for me was like late high school, I think. So it's a little fuzzy for me, but.
Well, I appreciate you doing your hair for the segment here, Greg.
Every 6.5 days, you get a nice clean cut. Keep it tight. So, but I think that's the first time that we met. I don't know if we got one of your business cards.
I remember that night. And I tell people about that night. I mean, Moonlight Madness, nobody would ever understand how popular the Orioles were, literally. So that had to have been 93 or 90. It couldn't have been 94 because they were on strike in 94.
Right. Yeah.
But it had to have been 93.
I had a bunch of trips. To bring this full circle, my wife is actually from just outside the Cleveland area, and we were supposed to go see the Orioles play the Indians in the first weekend of October of 94, but we got shut out because of the strike. But we also had tickets to the Jets-Browns game back then, so we ended up going to Jets-Browns game. I'll tell you, very passionate fans out there, but to call that stadium a giant ashtray would be an insult, I think, to smokers and ashtrays everywhere. The stadium was that bad. So and I guess you could see why a year later Art decided to move the team. So,
well, when Art decided to move the team, it, you know, certainly changed you and your father's relationship with going to games, and it's how I got. So I really don't know you from football. It was baseball. When you said to me, "Well, let's green room," and I'm like, I don't know where this is going. I had no idea that my relationship with you is baseball oriented, which, you know, would make all the sense in the world for anybody at that point in my life, because there was no football, right? I mean, right. Literally.
So I guess it started with baseball, and then I just started calling the show as back in early college at Loyola. And I think it was also when you would have the weekly pick'ems, really going to date myself for when we used to have to fax our picks in.
Friday football pick'em, right?
Or Friday. And my dad was involved in that. He would get my aunts and like my grandmother. My grandmother's like, Philadelphia, Houston, I don't even know any of those teams. He's like, just circle something on the page. And you get all these faxes from us on a Friday. So and I think it went like a gift card or something like that. So that's I guess where it started. And then I know I went on the San Diego road trip with you back in 96, 97 during the,
are you in those pictures?
I'm probably in there somewhere. Yeah. And we drove down to,
Dude, you are in the San Diego picture. You're making this funny gesture in it. You're in my San Diego picture from 2 weeks ago.
I was thinking you were number one or what? I don't know what the gesture is.
No. You were doing some frat thing, man. I'm going to have to find the picture now.
Because it's going to keep me running from city council in a few years.
You're getting political. I almost ran for mayor 2 years ago. Like, I thought about it.
I remember that. I think you would have had it. Yeah, good. Good shot. Rather have you in there than our current guy, but we're gonna keep it moving here. We're not gonna get into that. But
well, I mean, we could certainly get into anything you want. I mean, give me a little. What you do in real life? You sell homes for people, and you know, I'm a guy selling my home right now. I know a million realtors out there, and the market was sort of booming, and rates are down, like all that. But you mingle with a wide mix of people when you're in real estate, right? I mean, you and your sports fan thing probably helps your act, right? I mean, literally, you know a lot about sports. That's why I invited you on.
Right. So 100%. So started out in my former life, I was an accountant. Again, when I got my degree from Loyola College back in the day, and after about 14 years in the biz, I decided I needed to make a change. Wasn't as rewarding as I thought it was going to be. And so instead of jumping into it, like, you know, sticking my toe in the pool, just left the accounting profession, got my real estate license, and coming up on 15 years this year, I've done more as far as the success in my career. I got a much more rewarding just feeling, you know, helping people, you know, as opposed to putting some financial statements together and figure out earnings per share and whatnot. And it's been terrific. You know, this job has its ups and downs, and it's important. You got to prospect every day. You got to ask people for the business, but you want to do it in a way coming from a place of helping, not trying to sell people some things. In real estate, unfortunately, there's a lot of bad agents out there. I get to see them every day. So you want to come from a place of, how can I help you? Who do you know that might be looking to buy or sell that would like a senior agent that has their best interest? Because when I bought my first house in Federal Hill, I had a rookie agent. I had somebody that didn't have my best interest, just saw a commission check, and it was a really bad experience. So,
well, I mean, we try to give good experiences in life, and that's why we stay where we are. I'm 30 years into doing this, and Lord knows I've had there is no baseball anymore, right? Like, in the way that you and I would know baseball and talk about it every day, the way it's played when you watch it now, the shifts and the farm teams are gone, like all of that. It's unnerved me, but I mean, they took my press pass 15 years ago. I found other things that interest me: food and people and conversations and politics and how the world works and saving lives and my wife's illness and charities and people who need support and people that need attention. I've moved on, and I, to some degree with the baseball thing for me, I feel like it's probably the best thing that ever happened, getting thrown out, because it allowed me to go meet different kinds of people and do things differently. You talked about being an accountant and then to be, you know, I was a sports writer that became an entrepreneur, right? Because my pathway was going to be Ken Rosenthal. And if I was Ken Rosenthal, the commissioner of baseball would have fired me yesterday, right? Literally, right?
Oh, it was short end of the stick that he got. I mean, just to telling the truth or giving his perspective. And
that's where we are, though. That's what happens to media these days. That's why my job changed.
Yeah, exactly. State-run MLB network. Yeah, had him canned. That's really unfortunate. Cause I remember reading his column way back in the day, and I know you guys were tight as well too. So,
well, hey, and we've had our differences. But by the way, I found this on my Facebook page. I'm going to share this out for everybody on your page. You were young once, and I was sort of young, and your dad was sort of young. But these were the day. By the way, these get nasty signs and these defense signs here from the barn. I have like a. Do you think anybody would want a Wacko for Flacco sign or a Ray 252 sign or anything like that? Or no?
I think I still have a dump Trumpy sign.
You got? I have some. I have a stack of dump Trumpies. I have a stack of Baltimore Loves Bruce that we gave away at the Springsteen show at the Rofo Arena. Yeah. So if anybody needs any of those and you hear the interview with me and Greg, throw me a note, ness@baltimorepositive.com. I'll get that out to you. Where are you on the sports train right now? Like, you make a living, you have a beautiful family. I see your children, you know, the whole deal. If your dad were alive, you would say, all right, Dad, let's take the kids. We'll go to an Oriole game. Then you'd see the ticket price or whether there's a game or not. Ravens are having trouble selling tickets. Obviously, the seats are empty. And the Terps and COVID and like all of this. Give me your sports experience, because I think of you as a hard – every time I ever went to a Loyola game, you were there as an example, right? You worked games.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we worked the table for Loyola games back in the day. That's part of the reason, I guess, my dad ended up helping us out at the table and then ended up started working there part-time and then full-time. But, you know, like I mentioned before, Baltimore on through and through. Grew up listening to, you know, Chuck Thompson on the radio, you know, Vince Bagley for the Colts, you know, for that time, unfortunately not. Wasn't really, right before the team left, Maryland, you know, Maryland Terps fan through and through. I was there at De La Rosa's up on the Avenue, you know, the night that they beat Indiana. A former season ticket holder for the Orioles, you know, long time season ticket holder for the Ravens. Unfortunately, I stopped with my season tickets to the O's game, you know, many years ago. And then I gave up my season ticket, unfortunately, to the Ravens a few years ago with our little guys, you know, our second one coming. We got a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, two boys. And
so you're one of the people that's now like an empty, like it's talking to people who have moved on from whatever that ritual was, which was Moonlight Madness, and we're going to go to 13 Orioles games, and I'm going to go every Sunday, or I'm going to go when they're giving away bobbleheads, or I'm going to go when Messina pitches, or when Boddicker pitches, or whatever it is. I'm worried about sports, and this is from a guy who I haven't divorced myself from it, but I've separated myself from Billy Cundiff missing a field goal and me not being able to feed my family because of it, right? Like literally, that was a different level that I was at, that maybe one day I'll write a book about the night that Billy Cundiff missed a kick and, you know, people lost their jobs at WNST because I couldn't pay them. Like literally, like that's how crazy it got with sports in the success of the team versus whether I could feed myself or not. And I think a lot of people don't go home and do the proverbial, you know, punch a hole in the wall because the Ravens lost this week, unless they're betting on it, I guess, right?
Right. So, I guess a couple things. Obviously, it's been disappointing to see how the Orioles have struggled over the, you know, recent years. And then even when they had, I think it was the best record in the American League, was it 2011 to 2016? I think they had the best record, I think it was. But still, you didn't get the idea that they had a shot to win it all or had a plan to win a championship. I was going to say it almost sort of came together by accident. Now, supposedly, they have this master plan where you know, you got to trust the process. And, you know, what does that mean? 2023, 24, 25, we got our fingers crossed here. It's been tough. And then with the Ravens again, just some of it, you know, obviously things changed when they decided to take a knee, you know, that game in London, so many years ago. So that, you know, whatever way your feelings are with that, but that's certainly, you know, a lot of people gave up their tickets, you know, after that. And then, you know, the NFL part of it is, you know, just being such a good TV experience. Like I said, going back to, I don't seem like I'm putting this on my kids, but, you know, I got this great place right across the street from me, the Grunwald Club, you know, the greatest social club in all of Baltimore.
Oh, hey, happy birthday. I'm sorry I missed the birthday part. I was like, you know, your birthday happened last month, right?
But yeah, my birthday was a week before Christmas. I mean, probably
it was very COVID-y.
Born on Christmas Day,
dude. Like I was going to come that night, but the COVID thing started. I went to an event. My wife left on the 10th, I think, of December. She wound up getting home late. She got stuck up in New Hampshire, and she goes away for a couple weeks of Christmas with her sister, and they do all this Polish kielbasa and bacon stuff and making pierogies, like all that. So she's right up with the Grunwald Club, right? So she left, and I went to an event. And people were unmasked, and I didn't feel good about being unmasked, and I don't feel like I had COVID at all, but I was just sort of staying away from people, and I knew I've been to the Grunwald, and I knew people want to hug me and like all that, and I figured I'll just have you on the show a couple weeks later and say happy birthday to you, and you know, like all that, but the Grunwald Club is especially really I want you to wax about it because I have been there and. It's old school East Baltimore. I mean, like, there's nothing more old school than that. Maybe the Polish show up on Broadway.
It is. So beer, you got beers are a few bucks. You know, you get a glass of wine for like $3 or $4. Like I said, we've got four giant TVs everywhere, another small one behind the bar. We used to have the Christmas lights up 24/7. So we've taken a step up there. And if you've been through Canton lately, but those Edison lights, which are very popular, you're seeing throughout the city where it's just like the bulb. Those are probably half of Canton sort of has those in front of their house.
It looks like Italy.
It does.
It makes me want pasta. It makes me want to go to Amici's every time I see it, you know?
Oh, Amici's. Oh, back there. Remember the Amici? I think we won a couple of Amici gift cards from you back in the day.
Well, then you ate well.
Indeed. But so it's, yeah, great. So we're a social club. We're the second oldest social club in Baltimore City. The oldest is one of our guys that we're very tight with. A lot of our members double up with St. Gerard's right up the street on Foster Avenue and Conklin. Yeah, I think it is. So it's a great way to network. Like I said, it's tough when it's nice being there at the Ravens game, but when you know it's, I hate to say it, but part of it's getting a little bit older, having turned 50. When you can be inside. And you're going to be with people you like, and you got all the big screen TVs, HD TVs, and you're paying $3 for a beer, and there's no lines for the bathrooms. It's hard to beat. So I did take my son to one game this year, the Chargers game. We picked a good one. He was good for about half, and then we had to cut out after that.
How old's he now?
So the William is 6, and then our youngest one, Tyler's about to turn 3. So William went to his first game, but he has just as much fun as the club, where the kids can sort of run around. We got the TVs. We got a golden tee golf machine, golden tee 99. Hopefully that we're holding that thing together with duct tape.
Yeah. I was going to say, I hope you got a repairman, you know?
Yeah. So hopefully it's knock on wood. It's been working okay, but it's like, I hate to say this, but you know, time is at a premium. I can just walk across the street, be in and out of there in 3 hours.
See, when I think of a Grunwald Club, I think it should have the little bowling thing with the sawdust.
We've got it. We've got the yeah.
And you push the hockey puck.
We got it.
And it knocks the pins down.
So that sorry. We have shuffleboard with the little skates.
No. I'm talking the old bowling, the little bowling setup. Because they had that at the Railway Inn in Dundalk. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I hear you. And I think a couple of those places may still have it down in Ocean City or holding on for it down at the boardwalk, maybe Playland or something like that. Maybe still have a couple.
I'd be into that. I'll kick your ass is what I'll do. You know, Craig's Hispaniac is here. Did I say it right?
You nailed it.
Okay, perfect. He is a local realtor and an old school friend of mine. And nothing more Canton than Greg and Val and the family and Loyola and sports and all that. I just wanted to have you on because I love you, miss you. I haven't had a beer with you. I haven't seen you since like you two toured 4 years ago. We were in a parking lot together. But so I got to ask you, this picture here, for those watching out on our YouTube or whatever, were you at this San Diego event that this is from Jack Murphy in the parking lot. So you're in this picture. I have an alternate picture that you're in the front of it, I think. But there's Crazy George and Yogi Kumar and Tim Watts came and did the show with me. Tim came at Greenmount Station on the Crab Cake Tour. Tim had a crab cake with me. You know, that's Grimsley in the front there. Larry, I see him. He was the V. He sits up in 513. Yeah, man.
There's another similar picture where I'm in. I see Yogi because you, Yogi, and I, my buddy Andrew at the time, we took a drive down that night when you went down to see the Predators game and you had to go say hi to – I'm sorry.
Dude, I took you to L.A. in my car with me.
Yeah, we stopped. I jumped out in front of the Whiskey and Go-Go to get a picture. I think we stopped in front of the Capitol building. We had dinner in our
Beverly. You got to find those pictures, dude. Yeah. It was me, you, and Big Keith, right?
It was you, me, Yogi, I think, was riding shotgun, and my buddy Drew, and may have had a fifth person in the back. I don't know.
We literally got in a car in San Diego and drove to L.A. to see the Predators play at the Forum, the fabulous Forum in Inglewood. Always up to no good.
Exactly, yeah. So the Forum to this day, it's gone now, but whenever you'd see it on TV, you'd see the gold seats, but we sat on the other side, which has orange sheets, which was kind of wacky. I never knew that, but you never saw
it. I saw the Lakers play at the Forum one night. I saw Shaq.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Awesome. I remember seeing the jerseys up there, Magic, Kareem. I don't know if they had Wilt up there or not, but it was, the big three or four up there.
So. I was supposed to go see Bon Jovi there the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl when I was syndicated. This is before I was married and having a good time out in L.A. I got sick I threw up for 2 days in the Marriott on Century Boulevard in L.A. I swear to God, I thought I was going to die in room 206. It was the worst experience. But when I think of the Forum, I think, man, I wish I would have gone there. I did make it to the L.A. Sports Arena to see Springsteen the last two shows when he played out there. So that's where the Clippers used to lose, every year. Greg Cispaniak is here. Tell me how to find you and your realty company and all that stuff. So in case people need a cool, young, used to be young, real, well, other side of 50. Wow. Wisdom. You got wisdom now, Greg.
If I had a hat, yeah, I'd look a lot younger right now if I had my baseball hat on. But yeah, so again, I live out of Canton. We have 11 offices, Cummings and Company Realtors, throughout Baltimore City and the greater Baltimore area. The main office I work of is out of Canton, but I service clients throughout Baltimore City and all the surrounding counties. So I've worked with everything from $50,000 shell properties up to seven-figure homes out in the Ruxton area. So if you want somebody that knows your local market, that's going to give you a good information so you can make your best decision. Yeah, I'd love to touch base with you.
Hey, let's talk about that for a minute, because I have fun with sports around here and I mix it up a little bit. Jeff Moeller from Moeller and Gary, Don's son, has been my realtor the last year and a half. It's been hard to sell my place, right?
Yes.
I would tell you that I lost $250,000 on my condo, okay? And that's not in addition to the 18 years of paying the mortgage and whatever.
Condo fees and all that good stuff.
Let me say this about condo fees, okay? I live in a really nice building with really nice people. We've had the same staff here for 18 years. We're going to cry. It's going to be terrible. Like all of that, right? So for me, it was worth it. Like, for what we got in the city, for the way we wanted to live, I would not complain about the condo fees. I could complain about the taxes or the schools or the this or the that or Brandon Scott or the criminal mayors or like I can go through all of that. And I had Brandon on the show at Coco's a couple weeks ago. I live in the city. I support the city. I'm still living in the city for a couple more weeks. But I would just say this, we didn't want to buy right now for a lot of reasons, right? Just not really thinking. And I had a large conversation with Leonard Raskin, one of my great sponsors from Raskin Global, about buying or renting and all of that. And I bought two homes in the city. I bought a house on Kane Street. So do the math on this. I bought the house when I turned 18 years old. I was working at the paper. I put together, $2,000 or whatever, put it down, got my FHA, got, first time buyer. I was 18 years old. Right. My first mortgage was like $410 a month at 428 Kane Street, right across from was Anchor Post. Then they put a McDonald's there now, right? So
right.
I bought it for $48,000 in 1986. And I sold it for $43,000 in 1998. So I went backwards in the first house I was in, the second house I was in. I made $100,000. It was great. Put it down. Lost it all 18 years later, getting rid of this. I've only bought, three homes in my life. And it's not that I'm reticent as a 53-year-old. I've just got way more of a vagabond heart about me than I've had, where we've loved where we live. But if I go back into the market to buy a year or two from now, what's basic advice that you give to somebody who – and it's not about sunburn for me, about like, oh, I lost money. No, I just don't want to live somewhere for the next 10 years. I can't think of a place anywhere in or out of this country that I would – say I want to live in that place for the next 10 years, being 53. So I'm at a timeout. I'm having a midlife crisis, as you can tell by my hair, where I'm having a timeout. But I don't think that I'm never going to buy a home again. Sure. I'll know it when I see it. And now that I get older, having had a girlfriends and a wife, having had red cars and blue cars, having had, you know, suburban homes and a city home, like I feel like I want to have 31 flavors for a little while. You know what I mean? Right. I don't want to be in any one specific place. But when I do, what's the first thing you tell people about buying a home? Probably, are you going to stay a while? That's probably rule number one, right? Like, I'm probably making the right decision because I don't want to be somewhere long term. And if you don't, it's probably not good to buy a house.
Sure. So, what area do you want to be in? How is it going to, I mean, a lot of people pick areas because of schools for their kids or, hey, you know, like a commute to work. Now, obviously, the world has changed a lot in the last almost 2 years here with more people, you know, working from home and whatnot. But the bottom line is, I mean, there is no crystal ball to know where the future is going to go. But right now, and generally speaking, we have low inventory, we have low rates, and we have a high buyer demand, which has helped in addition to the inflation that's happening, where your dollar is worth less, that's costing you more dollars to buy something. It's pushing the prices up. So you want to get an agent that, first of all, you want to figure out where do you want to live. You want to know what your budget's going to be. You've got to talk with a lender. You got to get your pre-approval for a lender. Even if you're not going to buy something tomorrow, you sort of need to have that ready to go, because I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and they say, "Well, we're looking."
Well, you're not legitimate. You're not to the seller. You're not legitimate, right?
Exactly. And what I tell my sellers is, my sellers expect only buyers coming through that are ready, willing, and able buyers. They don't want to. So my sellers don't want to have their time wasted by an agent bringing a buyer through that who can't, you know, pull the trigger, so to speak, and buy the property. So any agent worth their salt, any buyer's agent is going to have their buyers. They're going to sit down. They're going to go through a buyer presentation, sort of dig down a little deeper, because 50% of the time I found out people know exactly what they want, but the other 50% of the time they don't. I can't tell you how many times I sat down with a husband and wife or two significant others, and they haven't even agreed upon if they want to be in the city or county. So they got to get their ducks in a row before we start taking them out and showing them properties. But so you got to get your financing straight. You got to figure out what area you want to be in, how long you're going to be there. But there is no crystal ball, and there's nothing that automatically says, hey, because I buy a house here, it's going to increase 3 or 4% every year. Because are you maintaining the house? Are you replacing appliances? Are you painting the property? Or is the property in the same condition when you bought it 10 or 15 years ago? That doesn't mean it's going to automatically appreciate. You got to maintain the home, you know, little things like making sure that your HVAC, the filters are, you know, being changed, and like, you know, if it's needs any paint or upkeep, changing appliances. So that's what also helps houses, you know, appreciate, you know, down the road. So hopefully that answers your.
So my wife and I went and we're moving to the Towson area, and we found a good situation. We're fine, right? But we looked in Canton big time. Like, I really believed I was going to live in Highland Town when we sold this. I think I believed that for the last year and a half. My wife and I have really enjoyed the city, enjoyed walking through the city, despite all the warts and problems and this and that. We love urban life. We're going to hate leaving. We're going to hate not walking everywhere, like all of that. And maybe that would lure us back to buy a home from you down in Canton, because you found a place with a rooftop deck that we'd like and nice neighbors on a clean street with a parking situation, right? Like the things that we would say about it. But we went looking in Canton at a lot of the really nice rentals that are available and new places. And my wife wanted to have a garden and an outdoor space. And I've had friends with decks. Decks are cool. I'll say this, and I know you've traveled a little. I've traveled a lot, and you were in LA with me and whatever. Baltimore is so cool, right? And Canton specifically, with the type of homes, the row homes, the alleyways, the rooftops, the bars, the park, the water. You can walk downtown. Like, if I buy anywhere or the next place I go that's a situation that's urban, I love Highland Town. It's coming back to life. Canton's coming. My friends at the Chaucer. I told Brian Eater, I'm like, I'm probably going to get a place that's walkable to you. And we look down at the beautiful complexes they're building down where the mall area is at the foot of Canton. We looked at some of those shishi foo-foo places and whatnot, and just decided to do something else for a little while. But when I see Baltimore and I drive through East Baltimore, I think to myself, like everyone else, and this, I sound like I'm running for mayor now, but I think about the potential of the place. I mean, Baltimore's so unique and so cool. Fells Point, all of it.
100%. Yeah, we're just a few blocks from the water. You mentioned you can walk to grocery stores. I mean, for us having our little ones, when you think city, you don't automatically think playgrounds, but there's like five or six playgrounds we can take our kids to that are all walkable. You know, Patterson Park's just five or six blocks to our north. So we do have this little special area. And I was out at one of the local watering holes the other night, ran into a gentleman who was here in town from business from Austin. And we were at Speakeasy, I think. It just struck up a conversation. And he was like, man, this place is like a little gold mine here in Canton where, like I said, you got the shops close by, you got the square, you got the park. He had been there for about a week, so he kept coming back. I think he was staying at one of the hotels downtown, but he kept taking an Uber over to Canton to sort of just hang out and get dinner and, you know, meet some good people. So, yeah, we have definitely a lot to offer here still in the city. So.
Well, I was supposed to do the show at Nacho Mama's next week. I don't know whether COVID's going to allow that. I mean, I guess it's serendipity that I've had you on the show today because you're exactly the kind of person I'd be inviting over to Canton for a beer and a crab cake and some storytelling. And, I mean, when you're sitting at Nacho Mama's, like you and me at Nacho Mama's doing a show, we could probably just do 2 hours talking about the pictures on the wall. Like literally, right? Like storytelling in a place like that, right?
You got Elvis welcoming you. Yeah, when you walk in and just all the Colts memorabilia.
Well, I'm going to get down there and I'm going to do the show. You got an open invite, bring the family by and all. I hope we get through this COVID thing and it's been crazy, but really good to have you on, man. I'm glad we talked a little real estate, told some old school stories, and I got to show a picture of your dad, which made me happy. And I'm going to find the picture because you're doing like this Heisman thing in the front of the picture, I think, and it is you in San Diego now that you remind me. So
it was a different time, a younger man, thinner in the face and a lot more hair, but it was a lot of fun. Even though the Ravens came up short that day, that was the game where there were only two leverage penalties called that year in the NFL, both in that game against the Ravens.
So. Poor McCrary. I still remind him of that when I run into him down in Fells Point.
Yeah.
Greg Cespaniak joining us here. He is a local realtor and friend and longtime listener and attended my wedding. Probably ate some of the cake in the paella, amongst other things.
Got to talk to the governor, and Willie the cat just climbed up the stage.
Hey, Willie, what's going on? Is Willie named after? Who's Willie named after?
Willie's named after Willie Cheechee, the hitman from the Godfather.
Actually. Oh, nice. Okay, so, I thought it was Willie Miranda. I wasn't sure. So I would bring my cat in, but she's asleep on the bed right now. But hey, by the way, everybody supporting the Betty White thing, make sure you're giving our friends at Be More Humane because they rescue animals and give the kind of love that only a cat could give Greg at this point. Dude, I find it very hard to think you're a parent of two. I really do. I mean,
you're not kidding. Hey, a lot changed in a few years where I got married, had the two, moved in with my now wife, Beth, picked up a stray cat in the backyard. There's a whole nother story with that. There was never a cat guy. Then we got two little ones now. So 50 years old, got started late, but I got started.
You got kids, you got a cat, you got a wife, you got a life, you're in Canton, you're walking distance from plenty of places with cold beer at a reasonable price. 100%. You're in the land of pleasant living. Greg is where you are, man.
No doubt, no doubt.
All right, man. Cheers to your dad and mine too, all right?
You got it, bud. Sir,
Happy New Year, 2022. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, look, here's what I got. This is what I'm
Jesus.
Dealing with.
Don't drink from that.
We need to.
Everything tastes piss warm in that.
This is how high our dishes are piled up here. This is what I got to deal with. So.
Well, you got to get a dishwasher. You need a real estate agent. Greg Cespaniak joining us here, our friend from Canton. I am Nestor. I'll get back out on the road eating crab cakes. I'm going to get back to drinking beer and hugging people and spreading my germs all over the place, but not now. I got to get my third booster this weekend. Hopefully I'm not sick in bed, but building a bigger, better WNST AM 1570, where we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.